Hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Bing Crosby Show. We also have the Mel Blanc Show following it. And for Bing Crosby, this week he has one of my favorite guest stars, Al Jolson. And this is one of Al Jolson's early appearances, I think, on Bing Crosby's show. And he will appear a number of times in the upcoming years, until he passes away in the early 1950s. So here is what Variety had to say about this episode of the time. They said, Crosby and Jolson read like a good combination and sounded as well. Spinning on Philco's half-hour platter last week, the 15th, no question that it was among the top and best shows Crosby has done for his new sponsor. The program was good, principally because the crossfire between the pair stood up, for it was a cinch that with these two guys, there wasn't going to be much wrong with the singing. The comedy premise was a switch back to a dressing room with neophyte Crosby calling on the star Jolson to try out. Of course, they had to be a little careful about just how early they keyed the sequence in order to skip having to blow out the footlights. But the comedy writing just stood up and had a good tag of Jolson telling Crosby that if Paramount does the Crosby story, he will be glad to do for him what he did for Larry Parks. And of course, we know Larry Parks was starring in the Al Jolson story and really revived Al Jolson's career. So that's just a fun play on that. Anyway, then it goes on with, previously they had teamed on April Showers, Rosie, The One I Love Belongs to Somebody Else, and Jolson had whipped across Swanee Alone. In hit parade tempo with a dynamic orchestra, which guarantees to get him out of any jam and does. He was in no difficulty here, although the repeat on his very familiar standard tunes was sufficient to hint that Jolson might shuffle the deck and thumb through it in search of a couple of not-so-familiar songs. For instance, what's become of Rum Tum Tiddle? And there are surely others. Perhaps the surprise part of the broadcast was when Crosby and Jolson were taking turns splitting a chorus. It wasn't always easy to distinguish who was singing, especially in the lower registers. A singing commercial by both also was inevitably funnier in the studio than over the air, as it came through not as the pause that refreshes. Yet the combination can obviously stand a repeat any time. Most everybody thought this would be a good one, and it was. That's from Variety, January 22nd, 1947. I love seeing these articles that were published at the time where they're reviewing the episodes. They're a lot of fun, and it's just a lot of fun whenever he's with Jolson. So I hope you're going to enjoy this episode and enjoy the Mel Blanc episode that follows behind it. And we'll see you folks next time.
When the blue of the night meets the goal of the day, someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to Philco Radio Time, produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter, his chorus and orchestra, the Charioteers, Skitch Henderson, and Bing's guest, the one and only Al Jolson. And standing here in his drape-shaped burlap slacks is Bing Crosby.
Well, I didn't come dressed up tonight, Kenneth, because the opening number is a rainy night in Rio. The roof leaks here.
Oh, now, hold everything, Bing. That doesn't make much sense.
Who makes sense on the radio? You catch Henry Morgan. Great show, no sense. Well, fun, fine. Leave us away, John. Rainy night in Rio. We're gone.
do they do on a rainy night in Rio? What do they do when there is no starry sky? Where do they go when they can't go for a walk? Do they stay home and talk? Or do they sit and sigh? What do they do on a rainy night in Rio?
Rio de Janeiro.
How can they stand on the sand beside the sea?
Can they stand on the sand by the side of the sea?
Maybe the girl wants a tender kiss and get. How tender can you get when you're beneath a wet palm tree? And what do they do in Mississippi?
Mississippi.
When skies are drippy, what do they do and when it's murky?
What's your rhyme with murky?
Stand by Albuquerque. What do they do in old Altoona when the moon above ain't bright? Well, that's what they do in Rio on a rainy night.
What do they do on a rainy night in Rio?
Rainy night in Rio, Rio de Janeiro.
What do they do when there is no starry sky?
Do they sigh, do they cry for the stars in the sky?
Where do they go when they can't go for a walk?
Do they stay home and talk? Or do they sit and sigh?
Meet a sweetheart by the sea.
The man.
Maybe the girl wants a tender kiss on her.
How tender can you get
when you're beneath a wet palm tree?
But what do they do out here on Pico?
Hermann and Pico.
They Tico Tico. And what do they do when smog is lower?
Smog's getting lower.
On Figueroa. What do they do in Colorado when a shadow dims the light? Well, that's what they do in Rio de Janeiro on a rainy night.
Night in Rio. May I say, Bing, that you and all concerned did a wonderful job on that song.
Is this honest commendation, Ken, or are you fencing for an opening for some crass commercial remarks?
Well, as long as you brought it up,
I can bring up a thing. Well,
now, it's a fact that on a rainy night in Rio, people listen to Philco radios.
Ah, but is it an interesting fact?
Yes, I think it's interesting. And I have a feeling that's...
Want to bet? You can have 28 and 4 right now.
I have a feeling it's raining in Rio right now.
Phenomenal. You must be wired for long-distance rheumatism or something.
Are
you... Is anything else coming in? Hmm? See what you can get at Santa Anita. I got a bookmaker I'd like to pass post.
I don't feel anything coming in from the track right this moment, Bing, but in any town, in any country you can mention, you'll find that people go for our sets in a big way.
Any town, any country, huh? Mm-hmm. Now, I just thought of a good Mexican town. Mm-hmm. What are they doing in Xochimilco?
Oh. In Xochimilco, it's a Filco.
Very adept. Well, tell me, Ken, what's the rage in Babylon?
Oh, the big thing there is the 1201.
The 1201, huh? Just dandy. What's popular in the upper reaches of Eastern...
Come on, you've got to say it.
This word? I should have rehearsed this word just about a half an hour. Eastern...
Winnipetortable?
Winnipetortable,
oh,
yes.
Oh, the big... That place.
What kind of word is that?
Well, the big rage in Eastern Winnipetortable is the Philco Portable.
Oh,
had to do it, you know? By the way, where is this town you just made up?
Who knows? I just found it there. It's the first time I ever saw it. Came in pretty handy, though, didn't
it? Certainly did. And all clowning aside, Bing, you can listen to Philco's everywhere because Philco is the world's largest radio manufacturer. And listening to Philco's is an international habit. And Philco is famous for quality the world over.
¶¶
now, as a sort of a salute to this evening's guest of honor, Skitch Henderson plays the beautiful waltz from the Sidney Skolsky production, The Jolson Story, the anniversary song. Very lovely. Judging from the latest rundown on the box office receipts, The Jolson Story is a solid click with the Flicker fans from the rock-bound coast of Maine to the moisture-proof slopes of sunny California. I caught it myself the other day, grabbed it. I got a big kick out of Larry Park's performance in the title role. A hitherto reliable source, however, informs me that he doesn't actually sing all those songs himself. Now, if this rumor is true, I would like to go on record right now as publicly proclaiming a very promising future indeed for the chap whose voice they really used. It was especially thrilling to me when he sang,
though April showers may come your way, they bring the flowers that bloom in May. So if it's raining, have no regrets, because it isn't raining rain, you know.
It's raining violets, and where you see clouds upon the hills, you soon will see crowds of daffodils. So keep on looking for a bluebird and listening for his song. Whenever April showers come along.
Oh, this is got to be Al Jolson.
Yeah. Got to be the man.
So, Al, it was really you who sang all those terrific tunes in The Jolson Story.
It wasn't Ida Cantor.
Oh, yeah.
But, Bing, it was a big thrill to me recording all those songs, really. And I'd like to say right now that the picture gave me all the best of it.
How do you mean?
Well, you know my life, the way they wrote it. Honestly, after the first time I saw it, I want to run out and get fitted for a halo.
Well, we're going to make my life story over at Paramount,
yeah?
Al. Yes. In fact, the shooting date was only 2 days off, but... Oh, the deal went sour.
What happened?
Well, Larry Parks rejected me. He said he couldn't take off that much hair in 2 days. Left me there with egg on my face.
Yeah, yeah.
But Al, just between you and me and my listening audience...
Yeah?
That's an old Indian who has the Philco agency in Albuquerque. After you saw the picture, didn't you kind of wish that you were as young as Larry Parks?
Bing, look, if I was young as Larry Parks, there wouldn't have been anything to make a picture about.
I see what you mean. But, Al, I think one of the reasons I got such a big boot out of the movie was because it reminded me of the first time I ever saw you on the stage.
Bing, look, if you say your mother lifted you out of your carriage for a better view, I'll hit you with Perry Como.
Heaven forfend. But I would like to say that I only hope that I have your energy and your vitality when I reach your age.
I'm sure you will, Bing. And you'll be surprised how quickly those 6 months will pass.
Looks like Hope's writers have been monkeying with this man's material here. And Al, there's something I'd like you to let us in on. Every kid, when he gets into show business, you know he's got an idol.
Yeah.
Now, who did you look up to?
Eddie Cantor. You know, Bing, he was one of my favorite stars when I was a boy.
Al, now, here. Isn't Eddie Cantor younger than you are?
Are you kidding? Cantor was Toastmaster at Dame May Whitty's confirmation.
This is an astounding revelation.
Listen, if you don't believe it, ask Louis Stone. Eddie's his godfather.
Al, I tell you what, let's do. Let's fly in fancy back to my salad days in Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
When the man who was billed as the world's greatest entertainer graced our fair metropolis with his dynamic presence and a musical extravaganza called Bombo. The scene, backstage at Charlie York's Auditorium Theater. The time, just before dress rehearsal. A young and eager member of the local citizenry knocks upon the door with the big star on it.
Who is it?
It's just a fan, Mr. Jolson. Can I come in for a minute?
Sure, come on. My, what a fine young man. And how neatly dressed you are.
Thank you, sir. It's my mother's doing. She never lets me leave the house unless I'm immaculately clad.
Well, that's fine. And you'll keep it up, won't you?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed, sir.
Look, son, we can dispense with that sir business. You know, for your information, I'm a regular guy.
Well, then, how shall I address you?
Just call me Mr. Jolson, the world's greatest entertainer.
Thank you. Oh, Mr. Jolson, what's that paper you have there?
It's a racing form.
Oh, a racing form. Don't tell me you bet on horses.
What should I bet on? Field mice? I just do it to relax once in a while. It's fun.
Oh, please, Mr. Jolson, let's not discuss it any further. I'd rather remember you the way you were. Now, what I wanted to talk about was my voice. They tell me that I'm a pretty good singer.
Who tells you?
Well, my family, especially my brother Everett, he says I have a wonderful voice. He says I should go on the stage. He says I'd be a sensation. He's a character.
Even then. I mean, look, son, what kind of a voice have you got?
A manly soprano.
A manly soprano?
Yes, I sing in our church choir.
Well, what kind of a song would you like to sing?
Well, one of my favorites is Irving Berlin's Always.
Irving Berlin's Always. Come on, let's hear a few bars.
All right. I'll be loving you always with a love that's true always.
Wait a minute, son. Wait, just a moment, son. Just a moment. What is that boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo about?
Well, that's just something I throw in.
Throw it out. Look, son, let me tip you off to something. You never must confuse your audience. Boo-boo-boo-boo. Boo-boo. If you ever get in a theater with that, you'll have to bring along an interpreter. Besides, it's not commercial.
Oh, I whistle, too.
Yeah? Just a moment. You know, people fall asleep if you whistle that way. Huh? Put something in it like this.
Let me hear.
How's that?
Gee. A little flat.
No, I didn't think so.
I thought it was a little flat.
That was great, Al, really.
You ain't heard nothing yet. By the way, what is your name, son?
Harry Lillis Crosby, but my friends call me Bing.
Bing. That's not a name. It's a noise made by an air rifle. You call yourself Harry Lillis Crosby. Now, what I wanted to tell you is this, that your tone is all right, but you don't have any volume. Why do you sing so quietly?
Well, I figured I could use a megaphone. You see, my folks took me on a trip last year, and while I was in New England, I saw Rudy Valley.
Rudy Valley? Where's that?
Oh, Rudy Valley's a big band leader.
Harry, look, I want to help you.
Yes?
Let me hear you do a song all the way through. I'll listen to you, and maybe I'll have some suggestions.
Okay, Mr. Jolson.
Well, come out here on the stage. My conductor and the boys will play for you. Now, what do you want to sing?
Well, I'd like to sing that song that you do so well, My Blushing Rosie, but I'm not sure I know it.
Well, don't worry, kid. I'll start it, and you join in with me. I think we'll make it all right.
Rosie, you are my Rosie Pope.
Wait a minute, just a moment. Look, wait for the orchestra.
Oh, yes, pardon me.
Yeah. All right, Professor, let's have it.
My posy, you are my heart bouquet. Come out here in the moonlight, there's something sweet, love, I wanna say. Your honey boy, I'm waiting. Those ruby lips. My blushing rosy, my posy sweet. There's a little bunch of sweetness that I long to call my bride. And believe me, I'm not happy unless my baby's by my side. Her baptismal name is Rosie, but she puts the rose to shame. And most every night, you'll hear me call her name. Professor, I'm going to sing about my baby.
Rosie.
Rosie.
You are my posy.
You are my posy.
You are my heart's bouquet.
My heart's bouquet.
Come out.
Here
in the moonlight. There's something sweet,
there's
love.
There's something sweet, love.
I want to say.
I'm going to sing about my baby.
Your boy, I'm waiting. Those ruby lips to greet. Don't be so aggravating. My blushing rosy, my throat is
sweet. Well, that was pretty good. Now, I want to give you a little tip if you're planning an act. Before you sing, you've got to warm up the audience with a couple of sock jokes. Get them laughing at you.
Oh, I think what I know what you mean, Mr. Jolson. Listen to this. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bing playing this week in Spokane, Washington, Crosby, telling you that if you like my songs and snappy chatter, your applause is my bread and batter, and I'll keep doing the same kind of pattern until I get fatter and fatter.
What kind of a joke is that? The audience will hit you with stones. Where did you get the material?
Well, to tell the truth, Mr. Jolson, I stole it from a comedian I saw in vaudeville last week. His name is Bob, Oh You Kid Hope.
And that's the kind of comedy he does, huh?
Yeah.
He'll be washed up in a year. Now, look, son, let me do a number for you and watch very closely.
Okay.
Let's try Swanee. Hit it, Professor.
I've been away from you a long time. I never thought I'd miss this all. Somehow I feel your love is real. Near you I want to be. The birds are singing, it is song time. The banjo's strumming soft and low. I know that you yearn for me too. Bonnie, you're calling me.
Swanee. How I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. I'd give the world to be among the folks in D-I-X. I even know my mammy's waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north won't see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore. The old folks at home, Swanee, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. The folks up north won't see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore.
Oh, that was great, Al. Great, great.
Well, it's fun going back to the good old days with you, Bing. You know, I could go on like this all night.
Thanks, Al, but I'm afraid we'll have to take a breather.
Well, don't tell me you're tired, sonny boy.
Not that, Al, but along about here in the show, we get a commercial. You got to remind the folks that we've got a Philco or so available, you know.
Why, Bing, why don't we sing that old commercial?
Well, I'm willing to take a chance on it if you are.
Well, let's go, let's go. Can we have a little music, John Scott?
You'll make friends of every stranger
with a Philco record changer,
from the table size
to those that weigh a ton.
Or to make your life ecstatic,
we can tent be too emphatic.
Get that brand new automatic
1201. Take it.
Yes, for jazz or operatic,
in a ballroom or an attic,
get the simple but dramatic
1201.
And remember, folks, F is for fashion, fidelity, or fame.
F is for fabulous, as you know.
Oh, man, we're cooked. We're cooked, Al. Let's see. Are you taking over for a life?
Oh, we're cooked. Let's start over. Let's start over. F is for fashion. Where do you want to go from?
We'll make friends of every friend. You'll make friends of every stranger
with a Philco record changer,
from the table size
to those that weigh a ton.
Or to make your life ecstatic,
and we can't be too emphatic,
get that brand new automatic
1201.
Yes, yes, for jazz or operatic.
That's good, Bill. In a ballroom or an attic. That's where we're going, in an attic.
Yep.
Change warehouse, get us in the morning.
Get the simple but dramatic 1201.
And remember, folks,
let me hear that chord.
Ah, I got it, Al.
Good.
F is for fashion, fidelity, or fame.
S is for fabulous, as you know.
First with the finest is spelled with an F.
And Philco, you spell P-H-I-L-C-O.
P-H-I-L-C-O.
You spell P-H-I-L-C-O without an F.
You got a nice place down in Palm Springs?
Bing.
Move over, yeah, I'll be listen. Dumb.
What's next? And, well, don't, Al, and don't tell me.
Well, Al, some time ago you made a record of a song called The One I Love Belongs to Somebody Else.
Oh, I remember it well.
When that record came out, I played it so much that I wore it out. Would you believe me?
Believe you. I did the same thing myself.
Well, what I'm getting at, Al, is that I recorded that same tune for Decca myself recently.
Yeah.
It's not released yet, but I was wondering if you'd like to run through with it.
Oh, I'd be glad to do it, Bing. And by the way, let's not do any elbowing here at the mic, and let's get
yeah,
this
I get
one
a little
right
on the muscle. I've been with Pepsodent a couple of times. We've got to fight to get up to the mic around there. How's this start, John?
There's no problem. John's got to.
Oh, somebody else.
She means the tender songs for somebody else. And even when I have my arm around her, I know her thoughts are strong for somebody else.
The hands I hold belong to somebody else. I'll bet they're not so cold to somebody else.
It's tough to be alone on the shelf.
It's worse to fall in love by yourself.
The one I love belongs to somebody else. The one I love belongs to somebody else.
Well, Al, that about gets it for tonight, unless I forgot to wind my Benrus.
It's really Benrus fun, Bing.
I enjoyed every minute of it, Al, and I want you to feel free. Just drop in anytime.
Well, bless your heart, Martha Crosby. That's what you call real Southern hospitality.
Well,
And by the way, Bing, look.
Mm-hmm.
If they decide to make your life story at Paramount, remember, I'd be glad to do the same thing for you I did for Larry Parks.
Blue sky smiling at me.
Whistling, too, huh? Good night, folks. Good night, Al.
This program is produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Murdo McKenzie. The singing commercial was written by Johnny Burke and Jimmy Van Heusen, who were probably waiting out in the alley for Mr. Crosby and Mr. Jolson. Tune in to Philco Radio Time next week when Bing's guest will be Groucho Marx. And remember, for tops in radio listening all the time, get a Philco, famous for quality the world over.
Colgate Tooth Powder presents the Mel Blanc Show with Mary Jane Croft, Joe Kearns, Hans Conried, Jill Walker, the sportsman, Victor Miller and his orchestra, and starring the creator of the voice of Bugs Bunny.
What's up, Doc?
Yes, Colgate Tooth Powder for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle brings you the Mel Blanc Show with Mel playing his new character, Zookie.
Hello, everybody. Hi.
And starring himself in person, Mel Blanc.
Hi, folks. Ugga-ugga-boo-ugga-boo-boo-ugga.
Cloaks the countryside, and throughout Mel Blanc's little town, amorous young couples are sitting in front of warm fireplaces.
In the Adams household, we hear Shirley Adams saying,
"Why are you getting up, Henry?"
"Put another log on the fire, Shirley." And in the Brown household, Anne Brown is saying,
"Why are you getting up, George?"
"Well, I'm just going to stir up the ashes a little, Anne."
And in the Colby home, where Betty has been sitting in front of the fireplace with her boyfriend, Mel Blanc, Betty is saying,
"Why are you getting up, Mel?"
"Well, the fire's out and it's cold. I'm going home, Betty."
Well, Betty persuaded Mel to stay. Time passed, the fire grew warmer, and Betty said,
"Mel, let's hold hands."
"All right, but I think it's silly."
"No, Mel, not your hands, mine."
"All right, you hold your hands and I'll hold mine." "Betty, this year I'm going to make your father have respect for me. This is going to be a blank year. I'm going to be a big man, and the fix-it-shop is only the beginning. Already I'm working on an invention that'll do away with nylons. In fact, it'll wear 1,000 times longer than nylons."
"Oh, Mel, what is it?"
"Empty salami casings."
"Mel, who would wear a salami casing?"
"A salami."
"Mel, the first night we were alone in the parlor and you spent it talking about a delicatessen. 2 hours wasted."
"You're right, Betty. Let's go to the movies."
"Oh, no. Let's stay here and dance."
"Hey, that's a swell idea, Betty. I'll put a record on a phonograph."
"Yeah. Oh, Mel, be careful how you handle those records."
"Oh, don't worry. Say, here's an old cracked one. Enrico Caruso, Pagliacci."
"Oh, be very careful with that one. It's a very old record. Only 10 people in the country still have one."
There's only 9 now."
"You'd better not joke. That rare record is one of Father's prized possessions. And when he finds out, do you know what he'll do?"
"Well, don't worry, Betty. Your father won't play this record for a long time. So I'll rush right over to the fix-it shop, glue it together, and be back before your father can say, 'Mel Blanc, I'll break every bone in your body.'" "Let me see now. This last piece goes in here. Ah, got the record glued together now. Oh, wait, this can't be right. It came out square. I'll take it apart again. This time I'll put it into a frying pan so it comes out round. Ooh, holy cat, here comes Mr. Colby now. I better put the record in back of the counter. Hello, Mr. Colby."
"Hello, Mel."
"I see you're bringing the electric fan back. Didn't I make it run fast enough?"
"You made it run too fast. When I turned it on at the supermarket, the fan took off." "Yes. Went right through the pickle barrel and landed in the bakery department."
"Well, was anybody hurt?"
"No."
"And what are you angry about?"
"Well, how many people do you know that'll buy chocolate-covered dill pickle cake?" "I'm not really angry, Mel. In fact, I'm very happy. I'm finally getting a new refrigerator for my supermarket."
"Oh, that's wonderful. How'd you manage to get it?"
"Well, it's a funny coincidence. It seems the distributor out here is a music lover. And I promised him that tonight I'd let him hear my very rare Caruso record. In fact, I might even give it to him if he..."
Imagine that. Getting a refrigerator just for a Caruso. A record?
"That's right. A record."
"A record? Oh, you mean record. I thought you meant record."
"Is something wrong, Mel?" "Well,
why, Mr. Colby? What makes you say that?"
"Well, for one thing, your face just turned green."
Oh, that. Oh, that's the latest fad. You wear your skin to match your suit.
"Well, your suit's brown."
"How do you like that? I put on the wrong skin this morning."
"Well, Mel, I've got to pick up Mr. Grimes, the distributor. But meanwhile, you can fix this fan, and I may develop a soft spot in my heart for you. Well, goodbye."
Uh-oh. If he ever finds out what I fixed, he'll develop a soft spot in my head. Gosh, I gotta fix this record fast and beat Mr. Colby over to his house. Well, if it isn't Mr. Pochnik, the piano teacher. Hello, Mr. Pochnik.
Hello, Mel Nyatink.
Mel Nyatink?
Oh, excuse me, Mel Blanc.
Well, look, Mr. Pochnik, I have your calendar on the wall.
Oh, yes, the calendar with President Truman on it that says, "Play the piano and become president in 10 years elapsed."
Yeah, did it get you any new pupils?
No, but since I put it up, I got 12 new friends from Missouri trying to tell me how to run my business.
Well, by the way, Mr. Pochnik, did you ever have any luck getting a house for yourself?
Well, you know, Mel, for 3 years, I was in uniform.
Yeah, but I told you, Mr. Pochnik, they don't give priorities to Western Union men.
I tell you, Mel, I was so desperate last year, I told my real estate agent, get me anything, an apartment, a barn, a garage. I even take a cottage in Cucumber Manga. So last week, he finally called and said he had a flat.
A flat? Are you living in it?
What living in it? Was a flat tire. He wanted me to fix it.
Well, it's too bad, Mr. Pochnik, but if you don't mind, I've got to put together this broken record.
Just a second, Mel. I have to play at a wedding tonight, and I want you to fix by me my flute.
Well, I don't have any time now, but, well, maybe I can fix it in a second. What's wrong?
Give a listen and audition.
Well, no wonder it don't play right. The strings are missing. I'll have it fixed in a second.
Careful how you're fooling around. That ain't a piece of plumbing.
Well, I got it fixed. Try it now.
Maybe it is a piece of plumbing.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Pochnik. I gotta go now. I'm in trouble enough.
No, better you should stay here and fix for me my flute. This beautiful instrument can easily become a deadly weapon, you know.
First, let me take care of something, Mr. Pochnik. Ozuki!
I got to get by that wedding.
Hello, Mr. Potch.
Pochnik!
Now, look, Zuki, I want you to catch up to Mr. Colby and keep him away from his home until I get there.
Now, fix by me my flute.
Well, you can depend on me. I shall be overjoyed to assist you out of your precarious predicament. Did I say that? Well, come along, Mel.
Well, Mr. Pochnik, give me that flute. Gosh, if I don't get there in time, Mr. Colby will kill me. And if I don't fix this flute, you'll be mad.
That's right, Mel. You are in between the devil and the deep black sea.
Use Colgate tooth powder, keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night. Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
When you shoot for success and miss your aim, a breath of trouble may be to blame. Yes, a breath of trouble, I mean unpleasing breath, is a definite handicap. Could it be that you are a victim? Many are and don't know it. So just do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate tooth powder. Remember to buy it first thing. And remember the name, Colgate Tooth Powder, with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate Tooth Powder.
And now, Victor Miller, the sportsman, and their arrangement of Nellie Bly.
Love to me. I will play and sing for you the sweetest melody. Oh, Nellie, won't you listen while I sing to thee? Nellie Bly, bring the broom along. We'll sweep the kitchen clean, my dear, and have a little song. Oh, Nellie has a voice
like a turtle dove.
And when she sings so pretty like,
my heart just drips with love.
Drip, 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 hi, hi, Nellie. Oh, oh, Nellie, listen, lady, love to me, too. I will play and sing for you the sweetest melody. Oh, Nellie, won't you listen while I play for thee? Hi-ho, hi-hi-ho.
corner of her eye. And oh, it makes me so tongue-tied, my, to hear the hoot, Nelly. Hi, hi, Nelly, ho, ho, Nelly. Listen, lady, love to me. I will always love you till the day I die. Oh, sweet, sweet Nelly's life.
Me for you, kid.
Hi, ho, Nelly, hi, ho.
Mel Blanc. Mel has broken Mr. Colby's rare Caruso record and has to repair it before Mr. Colby gets home. But meanwhile, he's being detained in his fix-it shop by Mr. Pochnik, whose flute he is repairing.
Please, Mr. Pochnik, if I don't get to Mr. Colby's house, he'll kill me.
And if you don't fix by me mine flute, that pleasure will be mine.
Well, but the flute is fixed.
Well, why didn't you told me? Give it me. I try it now.
Just like new. How'd you like it?
Well, it don't play, but it sure cools off the play.
Give me that flute. I'll take it to back and fix it myself. Oh, now look who's here. My lodge president, Mr. Cushing.
Hello, Mel. Ugga-boo-ugga-boo-boo-ugga.
Greetings, mighty potentate. Ugga-ugga-boo-ugga-boo-boo-ugga. Well, Mr. Cushing, how's every old thing?
Mel, if you mean my wife, she's fine.
In fact, when I left home, she was calling up the newspaper to put in an ad for a new maid.
Well, what happened to the old maid?
I quit.
Mighty potentate, don't tell me you were the maid in your house.
Well, it might as well be known. When you hear a voice on the telephone saying,
"Hello, monsieur, this is the Cushing residence."
That's me.
Well, don't you ever have any help in your house?
Oh, yes. We used to have an upstairs maid and a downstairs maid. But my wife got suspicious.
Well, what made her get suspicious?
I was always out of breath.
Your wife must have really told you off.
She's still shouting. Yadda-da, yadda-da, yadda-da. You know, Mel, last night I walked by the night table where her false teeth were resting, and from sheer force of habit, they snapped at me.
Well, mighty potentate, didn't you have any idea what you were getting into when you got married?
No, Mel, but I should have had an inkling when the preacher made an unintentional mistake.
What happened?
He said, "I now sentence you, man and wife." You know, Mel, that part where the preacher says, "If anyone knows why this couple should not be married, speak now." I sat around for 3 days listening to arguments.
Well, mighty potentate, you may have been unlucky, but other married men are happy, aren't they?
Ha! Well, when you're young, they tell you marriage is the union of two hearts, two minds, two souls.
Well, isn't it?
Wait till you have to pay those union dues. So long, Mel. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
Well, goodbye, mighty potentate. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo. Ugga.
Did you hear that? I got the few notes off.
Please, Mr. Pochnik, I gotta leave now. I gotta take this Caruso record back to Mr. Colby's house.
Just a second, Mel. Where you go, I go. I got to play that wedding, and without this flute, I'm a dead Shazlik.
Well, come on.
You know, Mel, I heard that cushion. It's terrible when you don't get along with your wife. Reminds me of my first wife, Sonia. We went on a diet together. I was very fat and she was very thin. In 1 month, I lost 60 pounds.
Well, what happened to your wife?
She disappeared completely.
And that's what's going to happen to me if I don't get there in time.
I thought you'd never get here. Dad told me about Mr. Grimes. Have you got the Caruso record?
Yeah. Oh, Betty, meet Mr. Pochnik.
Mr. Pochnik?
Hello, girlie. Mel, you better hurry up and fix by me the flute. I'm late for that wedding. They must be up to the chicken by now. I already missed the borscht.
Please, Mr. Pochnik, as soon as I put this record away.
Oh, right next to the Gallicucci record, Mel. That's the way Daddy always keeps them.
Okay, Betty. Gosh, I'm so nervous I can hardly see what I'm doing. Oh, no. Somebody say something.
I don't care about the chicken, even the borscht, but I do hate to miss that dessert. How about maybe?
Oh, Mel, you broke broke the Caruso record and the Gallicherchi record.
Betty, I'm going to kill myself. First, you got to fix by me the floors.
Well, here comes Father up the steps with Mr. Grimes.
Oh, wait a second. I got an idea. Hide those records. I'll get behind the curtains and I'll sing Caruso and Gallicherchi myself. I can do it. Oh, no. I haven't got an orchestra.
Mal, what are you talking about? These are old records. They only had one accompanist. I'll play by me the flute.
The flute. That's it. Yeah. Betty, when you want me to sing, just say the word start. Why, right, come on, Mr. Pochnik, behind the curtain.
Come here, Mr. Grimes.
Oh, Betty, I want you to meet Mr. Grimes.
Hello, Mr. Grimes.
Oh, hello, Miss Colby. I can hardly wait to hear Caruso and Gallicherchi in all their glory.
All right. Well, first I'll put on the Caruso record.
Oh, let me do it for you, Father.
Oh, well, thank you, Betty. Let's sit here, Mr. Grimes. Oh, now, you mustn't forget the Caruso record has a slight crack in it.
Crack or no crack, there's nothing like the masters.
All right, now. The record is ready to start.
Ridi pagliaccio sul tuo amore entrato. Ridi pagliaccio.
You better change the record. Put the Gallicherchi one on, will you?
Yes. It's all right, Father. Now, Gallicherchi is ready to start.
No, hear the gentle law.
Gallicherchi never sounded like this before.
Betty, put the Caruso record back on.
All right, Father. Now, I'll start again.
Is that Caruso or Spike Jones?
Wait a minute, Mr. Grimes. These records are very old. Betty, put on the Gallicherchi record again.
It's all right, Father. I hope you know what you want me to start.
No, hear the gentleman.
Well, something's happened to these records. Mr. Grimes, wouldn't you rather hear a new recording of mine?
Wouldn't you?
Father, no!
Betty, please put on Arturo Toscanini and the Philharmonic playing the Tchaikovsky Concerto.
Toscanini and the Philharmonic?
Go on, Betty, do as I say now.
Well, I'll start it.
Bad day for Toscanini, too. If you don't mind, Miss Colby, I'm leaving.
Oh,
now.
Mr. Grimes, so soon?
Yes, this is as good a time as any for me to start.
Stop that thing! Something's wrong here. Wait a minute. Who's behind that curtain? Why, Mel Blanc!
Now, Mr. Colby, I can explain
Mel
everything.
Mel Blanc, what have you got to say?
Mr. Colby, meet Mr. Pochnik.
Hello.
Hello.
Mr. Pochnik, meet Mr. Colby.
Hello.
Hello.
Mr. Grimes?
Now, wait a minute! Mel Blanc, for the last time, I'm going to break every bone in your body.
Gosh, Betty, isn't it surprising how everything worked out so nicely?
Oh, yes, Mr. Grimes is getting Father a refrigerator, and he's even replacing the record you broke.
And he asked me to wait here on the porch for him. I wonder what he wants.
Oh, here he comes now.
Mel, my boy, I've really enjoyed this evening. By the way, you know that I'm a music lover, and in my travels, I meet a lot of other music lovers. Yes, and now there's something I would like very much to know. Will you excuse me, Miss Colby?
Tell me, Super Mel, if it's that the way you do it.
Oh, is that all, Mr. Grimes? Well, it's simple. You put your hands together, you pucker up your lips, and you go...
Mel Blanc will be back in just a minute.
Use Colgate tooth powder, keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night. Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
Do you think that a little breath of trouble, unpleasing breath, could be holding you back? Do you think this is the reason you're not as popular as you'd like to be? Well, then, why not do this? Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate Tooth Powder. For Colgate Tooth Powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate Tooth Powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate Tooth Powder. Remember to buy it first thing. And remember the name, Colgate Tooth Powder, with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate Tooth Powder.
This is Mel Blanc saying thanks for listening, good night, and that's all, folks.
Bud Heaston reminding you that Colgate Tooth Powder for a breath of sweet and teeth of sparkle brings you the Mel Blanc Show every Tuesday at this time. Be sure to join us again next Tuesday night for more fun with Mel and the people you'll meet in Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop.
Say hello to Halo Shampoo for naturally bright and beautiful hair. Remember, even finest soaps and soap shampoos hide the natural luster of your hair with dulling soap film. But Halo Shampoo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling soap film. Even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather, quickly banishes loose dandruff and dirt. Halo needs no lemon or vinegar rinse. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Get Halo shampoo at any cosmetic counter.
There is a worldwide shortage of fats and oils, so ladies, won't you please save every drop of fat that you can. Put it in a tin and turn it in. Your butcher will gladly pay you a high price for it. The Mel Blanc Show is written by Mac Benoff. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.